to set it up before you.
Okay.
Good morning. Last week we began the sugya of Bar Metzra. As we explained, the Dina de Bar Metzra gives a neighbor the rights of first refusal if the adjacent property is sold. Because to him it is extremely valuable, he can use the properties together. To an outside investor, there's nothing special about this property. He can invest elsewhere. So the mitzvah of Asisa Yashav HaTov tells us that stay away, leave this property to the Bar Metzra, to the neighbor, find another property. And in this particular case, Asisa Yashav HaTov is enforceable. And even after the fact, if an investor comes, he buys the property, Bar Metzra can come along afterwards and be misalokim. He gives him the purchase price, and he has the right to force him to turn over the property to him. And as we explained last week, the way this works is that we view the buyer, the lokeach, as a shliach of the Bar Metzra. We view it as if he's acting on behalf of the Bar Metzra. So even though he was unaware of this halacha, he thought he was buying the house for himself. So halacha gives him the status of a shliach, and he has no choice. He will have to turn it over to the Bar Metzra if the Bar Metzra exercises that right. Now, because there's a concept of shlichus, because what we do is we view the actual kinyan, when the buyer closes on the property, we view this kinyan as the kinyan being done on behalf of the Bar Metzra, and the Bar Metzra does not require another kinyan. It's his, automatically, it's his really l'mafreya from the time that the buyer closed on it because he was acting on his behalf. Adarabah. In most cases, he doesn't know. It's en fakir. This is a takana. The takana is dina bar metzra is yashav hatoiv. You have to turn it over to the bar metzra. The way they enacted, the way they made the takana, the way they set it up was we view him as a shliach bar korchay. It's not the regular minu shliach. It's not the regular zochin. Correct. This is a takana chazal. Correct. You find very often when Chazal made a takana, they made it consistent with, you know, with other klolim or other, you know, mechanics that exist in halacha. They didn't just create. Well, we'll see. By a goy, there will not be dina de bar metzra. Okay, we'll discuss that. That is discussed in Shulchan Aruch. What happens if there's a goy involved? Now, because of this lumdus, what happens if the person buys the property, he then goes ahead and renovates, he improves the property, he invests money in it, and the Bar Metzra comes and makes the claim afterwards. Now, as we pointed out, this is a very unusual case, because the Bar Metzra has to act immediately. If he waits, then he loses the Bar Metzra. But if you have a case where, you know, a very ambitious and energetic buyer, the halacha is the fellow will have a din of a yoyrid. Every time a person improves another person's property, he has a yard. He's entitled to compensation. So here as well, because he improved it, he had the right to improve it. We looked at it as a yard birshus because he's not doing anything wrong. He didn't realize there's a bar metzra involved. He has a yard birshus, and he has to get paid for his investment, for his efforts in improving the property. However, once the bar metzra comes and makes a claim, even if the process going to Beis Din takes some time, if from the moment the Bar Metzra comes and asserts his claim, at that point the buyer should realize he will not end up with the property. If he invests, if he improves the property, he will have a din of a yard shaloi birshus. He is improving someone else's property. He knows he was not asked to do it, so he gets paid on a lower amount. We're not going to go through the entire Hilchos Yoyrid, but basically, if it's a normal, it's, you know, he gets the shvach or the hitzah, he gets either the value of the improvement or his expenses, whichever one is less.
Many times, an improvement to one person.
Correct. So that we pointed out. If there is no, if you're a yarud shalei b'rishos, if you know the bar metzra is going to make the claim, a yarud shalei b'rishos gets the shvach or the hitzah, the expense or the benefit, whichever is less. Benefit, it means the appreciation, the price appreciation of the property. So you may have painted it, you happen to like your house with black walls, but if the value does not go up, then you can't pass along that bill. That is when you're shaloi birshus. That is once the Bar Metzra already asserted his claim. If you act beforehand, if you make improvements, They're already, you're a Yerei Birshus. Yerei Birshus gets paid the normal cost of the improvement, even though that will be greater than the actual benefit. Now, what happened?
In all of this, the lokeach bought the property, then it gets whisked out from under his feet. Where's the yashuv ha'tzeit to the lokeach?
Well, the yashuv ha'tzeit to the lokeach is he shouldn't have bought it in the first place. Or he should have at least, because he's an outside investor, to him he can buy any property. To the neighbor, this has special value. The yashuv ha'tzeit is either to go elsewhere or adarav, to go in and on behalf of the bar mitzvah, go ahead, buy the property and turn it over so that the person who it's most valuable to gets it. So that is the entire yashuv ha'tzeit.
What's his obligation? This is some results. So he went here, this is the sum results. So he finally found this property. He's supposed to...
Okay, wait a second. Now, if he can't find another property, there is a discussion about if there are no properties available. And that we'll get to later on. The assumption is there's plenty of real estate available. Not every neighbor wants to swallow up and expand his farm or expand his property. And therefore, the assumption is you could find elsewhere. If you can't find elsewhere, but the bar mitzvah by definition already owns a house. He's a bar mitzvah. He owns the neighboring property. The buyer, if he's homeless, if he's looking for a property and he can't find elsewhere, there will not be yashuv ha'tzeit. Correct. And the Sma explains that the goal of bar mitzvah, or the reason why it's structured like this, is enechanami. The buyer, the seller, it's very much in their interest to go ahead and speak to the bar mitzvah beforehand. They're not mechuyav al pidin. There's no isser for them to buy it, but this halacha certainly encourages them to do so, because otherwise they'll go through the efforts, the due diligence, and they won't end up with a house. Okay, we'll get to that. It depends. Who asked the question. We'll get to that in a few minutes.
So all you have to do is buy a property, close, go next door, say, "Hey, I just bought this property. If he doesn't give me the money or give an indication right then and there, then that's it." Right?
Correct. He has to act right away, and we'll see. He has to have the cash available, which is a pretty serious roadblock to successfully claiming bar mitzvah. Not knowing halacha is never an excuse. I can recommend a good cheer for you. Okay, so be that as it may, that's the din of Yoyer. You have a din of shliach. Because you have a din of shliach, what happens if the property being sold, there's a house in Muncie, houses in Muncie go for, $400,000. The house is being sold for $200,000. So you can imagine, everyone comes and chops it. What's the bar mitzvah going to do when he finds out that his property gets sold for two? The next door, he's going to say, "I want it. I am claiming the bar mitzvah." So assuming there is a real bar mitzvah, he has a use. He needs two houses together, which we'll discuss later, is usually not the case. Does he have the right to go ahead and claim this property or not? Now, if the whole reason for bar mitzvah is yashuv ha'tzeit, and the point of yashuv ha'tzeit is, why chop this property to an investor? He can go anywhere else. Leave this to the neighbor because it has special value to the neighbor. Can you find another house in Muncie for $200,000? Unlikely. This is a metziah. So therefore, al pi svara mikra hadin, you can argue that there should be no dinat bar mitzvah, because there should be no yashuv ha'tzeit, because the buyer has no other option. He can't find this kind of deal elsewhere. What?
It must be a reason why.
It's a mitzvah. The fellow is desperate. It's a fire sale. He needs cash out today. Nevertheless, the halacha is we say loy plug. We are not, if we start making judgment calls on every time there's a sale, this is a fair price, is it a mitzvah, is it not a mitzvah, start bringing in agents and brokers, the halacha is loy plug. Anytime it's mekachu memkar, you're buying it, we do not say this bargain is not available elsewhere, the dina to bar mitzvah will apply. Now, interestingly enough, there is a similar machlokes by Oni Mapi B'Charara. Anyone remembers from way back, one of the first shiurim that we went through. And there also, there's a discussion whether it applies by mitzvah. And there already, most poskim held that if it's a clear bargain, you do not say the halacha of Ani Mahapich because it's such a mitzvah. The Ramban, the Shach quoted, held loy plug. really based on this halacha. Since by bar metzor we say loy plug, we don't look at the prices. The Shach and the Ramban held that hu adin by ani ma'apach. Others are mechalik. They say that bar metzor is a stronger din of yashar v'toyev. That's why it's enforceable. There, the takano included a loy plug ani ma'apach, which is a less chomer dikadin. It's only nikra rasha. It's not enforceable. So there, we will look at each case and make a judgment call.
Correct.
So that is the halacha of loy plug, because we don't go start making distinctions and start looking at each case and judging it whether you could or can't find it elsewhere. Now, although this is true by a bargain, if the seller gives it away as a present, we will see later on that by matana does not have din of by metzor. Hu hadin, if a property is for sale, and the buyer is the seller's old chavrusa from yeshiva, the seller wants to help him out, so he gives him a discount. So halacha is, if the discount is being done specifically because of this buyer, then bar metzor doesn't apply. The metzor can't go ahead and say, you bought this house for 200, here's 200, goodbye. Because if the price is really 400, and anyone who would have approached the seller, that would have been the price. He's just giving a discount to him specifically as a present. They're already... the bar metzor cannot take advantage of the present that was intended to the buyer, and he would not be able to be mesalik the buyer. Now, if there's a machlekes, if the buyer says, oh, you know, want to know why I got such a deal? Because I'm great friends with the seller, we're old chavuses, and he was trying to help me out. And bar metzor says, baloney, business is business, this is what the sale price, he would have sold it to anybody for this amount. So over here, the lekeach will win. Because since it is unusual, as you pointed out, it's unusual to sell a property at below its value, there usually is a pshat. So if the lekeach says the pshat is he is my best friend, and he's doing this as a favor for me, that has a ring of truth to it, and the mermetzah would have to disprove that, which obviously will be difficult, but the burden of proof will be on the bar metzah. Now what? Yeah. So if a property is given for a matana, if the entire property is given a matana, so there we find the din of dvametzah doesn't apply at all. You can't go ahead and tell the recipient that here, give me the property and I'll pay you its fair market value, because there we look at it is that he was giving him the property as a matana, and he wants him to have the property, and the din of dvametzah will not apply at all. If he was selling it, he just not chopped off a couple of dollars from the price as the present, so then we look at the present not as at the purchase, not as the property, it's just dollars and cents, and that can be settled by paying the higher amount. Now, what about the opposite case? The property was worth 400, it gets sold for 800. So in that case, the bar metzor has a decision to make. If he's willing to pay the 800, if he's willing to pay the full price, then he can get the property. Otherwise, he loses it. You know, if you want to buy a property and you're afraid the bar metzor is going to jump up, if you're willing to pay a high enough price, you're willing to outbid the bar metzor, if you will, at that you will get it, because we cannot stop an outsider from offering a higher price. We can't. That would be a pseida demoicher, and therefore, if it gets sold even at an inflated price, the bar metzor will either have to match that price, or he will have to, or he'll lose. Now, this actually raises an interesting question, and that is, we mentioned that we'll get to this more by Arichos later, that whenever the seller will lose, we do not apply din of bar metzor. For example, one case is where he's desperate, he's selling a whole portfolio. It's not one property, he has a whole portfolio. So for there, din of bar metzor will not apply, because if you allowed someone, any neighbor of one portfolio or of one property, or even multiple, to jump up, because it is difficult to sell a few properties together, to sell one house, it happens all the time. To sell a collection of 10 houses is more difficult. So we do not want to slow down the process. Because it is a difficult sale, it's not the typical transaction, in order to stop the moicher from losing out, we say there's no dina de bar metzor. Frechter Shar Mishpa. What about over here? The property is worth 400. You found someone that's willing to pay 800. Is that typical? Is that a normal transaction? No. This is a windfall for the seller. So why don't we say the same halacha? Why don't we say that because this is a windfall, this is a special opportunity, let's cancel the din of bar mitzvah so as not to deprive the moicher the opportunity to chap this bargain, or not bargain, to be able to take this opportunity and sell it for twice its value. It's the same way when the seller wants to sell a whole package. We say, because it's a difficult thing to do, we cancel bar mitzvah because we don't want to make it more difficult for the moicher to close the deal. So in this case, where he found someone willing to pay twice its value, why don't we say the same thing? It's hard to find someone to paying this kind of money. So we want him to be able to take advantage. We don't want the seller to lose out.
So it's not losing out because the mitzvah has to match the 800. It's not going to lose out.
No, so the same thing with a portfolio also. The point is that whenever there's dina de bar mitzvah, you're slowing down the process. Because a buyer is going to do due diligence. He's going to want to know what's with the bar mitzvah. He'll go knock on his door. He's going to handle with him. It will slow things down. So normally when you're selling something, we say that's the sisa yashar v'toiv. Yishtaka should ask it. But in an unusual case where the seller is under any pressure, and there'll be a whole list of examples where the seller is under pressure, this is not the normal deal. There we say, get rid of bar mitzvah, because in this unique case, we don't want to do anything that will slow it down, that may cause him to lose the deal. So the Shai Mishpat asked, being able to sell a property at twice its value, it's an unusual case, it's an unusual windfall, and we should have this, we should be mevatel bar mitzvah so as not to slow down the process. Zok the Shai Mishpat, a very, very nice teretz. He says, if you remember even further back from Ani Mahapach, we went through Hilchos Oino. Overcharging more than its fair market value, is an Issur Oino. Oh, very good. So I guess you do remember the Shiur. We also learned Ein Oino LeKarkois. The halacha of Oino applies to metalphalin. By Karker, there's no Oino. So you remember half of the Shiur. The other half was, even Ein Oino LeKarkois mean there's no Tvi. What? Oh, very good. 2 points. Number one, it means there's no Tvi as Oino. It means that there's no recourse. But according to many Rishonim, the Isser Oino applies even to Karka. And there's another Machlokes Rishonim that some Rishonim say, Ein Oino LeKarkois means that shear of 1/6, the normal shear of Oino, does not apply to Karka. But once you hit double or above double, that's another Machlokes, then Oino will apply. Zok the Shai Mishpat. Since in this case, the Moicher is being a Ma'ana the Lekach, so to go ahead and to keep Dina de Bimetra, which may slow down the process, and now the moicher won't be able to be ma'ana v'lekech, that is not called a hefzid, that's not a problem to us, and therefore we will apply din of bamatzah. But based on that, the Pesach Chuvah and Shai Mishpat suggests, what happens if the buyer, there is no oino. The seller is honest. Listen, I know it's worth 400, you want it for 800, it's yours, but amanashi en l'cholai oino. There's no oino, it's full disclosure, and for some reason this buyer is desperate, he's willing to overpay. There's no iser. He waived his rights. It's a mechila, it's a davar shem amam, and you have every right to do so. Or, if you're going with the shita of keifa, what happens if it's, the Gemara's case, it was 200 for 400. What happens if it was worth 400, you sell it for 600? It's not keifa. So according to it, again, that'll be telling the other machlokes about why the iser applies by karka. But what the Shai Mishpat suggests, any time there's no oino, this rule will not apply. And if the buyer is willing to pay a premium, then that we know no din of mitzvah because we don't want to slow down the process. The Nachas Tzvi is not so sure about this halacha. He's not coming out with a clear halacha. A kopan, this is the shita of the Shai Mishpat.
I thought I know the both ways. If it sells for 200 or 400, we just come back later and say, actually, it's really worth 400. Then the transaction is valid.
So by Karka, the point of Ein Oino LeKarkois is that you don't have any recourse. You can't come back. There may be an Isser, that's a Shaila, but you certainly don't have any recourse. You can't undo the deal. You can't ask for a refund when you realize that
I know that, but I think you can ask for the difference.
By Metaltalin, if there's Oino of exactly one Shtos, then Halach is Kano Machzor Oino. Then the deal stands, you get a refund for the difference. Karka, then this whole Halach is off.
Mm-hmm.
Right, you're saying it's a different category. It's a good point. It's a good taina. I think the pshat in the Sha'ar Mishpat is that when we're dealing with the question of asisa yashav ratoiv, how likely it is whether I can find another deal like this elsewhere. On that, we're going to say loy plug and satav l'shurim. In this case, we're dealing with pseida de meicher. To cause a pseida to the meicher is off the table. So to say loy plug and therefore sometimes we will cause him a loss, that we're not going to do. But in the opposite case, it's not pseida de meicher. In the opposite case, it's just a question of, is there a yashav ratoiv? Is only yashav ratoiv, like, if I have this other ability, and I may not have the ability over here, yes, no, we can argue about it, it's debatable, subjective, loy plug. But any time there will be a pseid de meicher, I don't think we say a loy plug, at least that's the sheet of the Sha'ar Mishpat, and that's why he holds that there would be no dinah by matzah. The package will get you. That's how luck later on. I was just referring to it just to understand the Sha'ar Mishpat's point. Correct. That's true. And the Gemara actually says that. But over here, the normal case of shliach is you send the shliach to buy something, he overpays. You tell him the deal's off. You aren't acting on my shliach, and I'm walking away from the deal. Here, the Bar Metzor doesn't have to buy it. If he doesn't like the price, he tells the shliach, you're not my shliach, keep it for yourself. But if he's not acting as a shliach, he's acting for himself, and that's what the lekeach wants. He wants to keep it. You can't claim shlichus, but not accept the price. That you can't do. No, not in this case, because this is not a normal shlichus. Over here, the lekeach it's mitlatolian whether the Bar Metzor exercises his right. The Bar Metzor is not interested, and the lekeach bought it for himself. It's only when he's interested, he comes to Bez and he makes the claim, he comes up with the cash. There we say that we look at it from day one, l'mafreya, as a shliach. But you can never force the Bar Metzor to exercise his right. If your neighbor sells the house, your whoever buys it can't force you to take it off his hands. Now, what happens if the sale was done on credit? There was some seller financing. So over here also, the Tina Bar Metzor will not apply. Why? Because you put your property up for sale. A buyer comes, you negotiate with him, you do your due diligence, you check out his credit report, and you became comfortable, you trust him, you're willing to finance it, you're willing to get paid over time because you have confidence that you'll actually get paid. For Bar Metzor to come in and say, I want to step into his shoes, he's really acting as my shliach, give me the property, I'll make the payments, the seller can say, not so fast. You're my next door neighbor, I know you well enough, I don't trust you, and I don't want to deal with you. It's bad enough. Why do you think I'm moving out in the first place? So he has this claim. This is a pseid of the moicher. You can't force a moicher to basically force him to extend credit to this bar metzra if he's not interested. Now, obviously, if he's okay, he says, I'm okay with him. I trust him. The din bar metzra will apply. But if he is not interested, if he's not comfortable with it, he has the right to be mevatel the din bar metzra. Unless the Bar Metzor is really ready to come up with the cash. If he's willing to say, I don't need financing, I'll close in cash, I'll pay you today, then the Bar Metzor will apply. But if he's asking for credit, he's saying the same way you extended terms to the buyer, he's my shliach, I want to step into his shoes and have the same terms, that he does not have the right to demand because there is a tzeda de meicher. Probably the Bar Metzor will pay the dollar. He'll come up with the cash. It's only when the Bar Metzor needs the financing. So if it's a significant enough loan that the Bar Metzor cannot come up with that financing, cannot pay in cash, then this will be a way around Bar Metzor.
Does the Bar Metzor have a right to a partnership too?
What do you mean to a partnership?
Let's say I own the field next door and I take an apartment. Could he claim that he wants to take that position?
Okay, so we'll have to talk about partnerships. There we have the issue. If the seller says that, or if the neighbor says that, I need this outsider as a partner. He's someone who I can work with. Or he's someone who has deeper pockets. Then again, this pseid de meicher. You know, a partnership usually will be a technical issue, which is that the seller who's remaining a shutif can say, I want to be a shutif with him. I don't want this Bar Metzor as a shutif. I can't deal with it. So you'll have... Okay, so that's be a discussion later on. If you sell part of the property to an outsider and then you sell the rest of it, if Bezdin sees that it was all a haram, it was just a way to get it to him, Bezdin will then allow the Bar Metzor to come in and claim the whole thing. Okay, but that's halacha later on.
Is there like a amount he has to border? If one guy borders by 5 feet, the other guy...
Okay, we'll get there. You have to be able to use it together. So if this 5 feet is enough, if there's a bridge and it's usable, then it's fine. If it's, you know, if there's no way to use it, it just happens to be located next to each other. But we'll get to that. So if it's sold on credit, there's, say, the moicher has the right to say, I don't trust the bar mitzvah, I don't want to extend credit, and these halachas will not apply.
Both have mortgages from the same bank. This guy, you have a mortgage from Citibank?
A mortgage is not credit. When you take out a mortgage, the seller is getting... Okay. Now, even if the bar mitzvah is willing to give collateral, is willing to give a mashkin, still over here, the Chavis Yar says, the moicher can say nothing to him. Because it's true I have collateral. First of all, even with collateral, anyone who's in the lending business knows things are not so simple. And second of all, when there's collateral, you're responsible for the collateral. If anything happens to it, if it's metadlin, you're a shomer, you have a chrayus for it, and therefore the moicher can say I'm not interested.
But that's it. He's using the collateral as a bridge till he gets the cash.
No, the seller sold it with financing to an outside buyer. The bar mitzvah said, I want it with the same financing. The seller says, nothing doing. I don't trust you. There's no deed in the bar mitzvah. So at that point, the bar mitzvah says, you know, I'll give you collateral. You may not trust me, but you're holding the collateral. But even then, since collateral is not the same as having the cash, and the other Chavis Yor says, the seller can say, that's a pseida, I don't want the collateral, and there's no deed in the bar mitzvah.
The field is collateral.
What?
The field itself is collateral.
It's not collateral. It's an asset that he can foreclose on if the person doesn't pay. But if he has other debt, then there'll be other creditors. If he ruins the field, there are all sorts of tainas that he has that I don't want to have to go through the process. I don't want to have to bring you to Besdin to foreclose on your field. He doesn't have to go through that process. Now, that being said, Ataris Tzvi has a chiddush, and he says the minog is that although we don't rely on collateral, he says if you give an arev, if you have a guarantor, someone who is a trustworthy person, there he's mechadish that there din of mamzer will apply. I'm not sure how to determine exactly whether the Arev qualifies or doesn't qualify, but it seems that if you do have a legitimate Arev that Besdin determines...
Letter of credit.
What?
Letter of credit from the bank.
Letter, yeah, that's certainly, that would do. That would do. So in such a case, that Teresvi that says that it's Taka the Minog, that even though Mashkin we don't rely on, he says an Arev is better, and an Arev, if he is a trustworthy Arev, that would be fine. Now, the same way, if you sell on credit, there's no deed of the bar mitzvah, because the seller can say, I don't trust the bar mitzvah to go ahead and actually to make the payments. The same thing is true, at least according to the Nesivus, if there are any conditions in the sale. You know, the sale is done, it's X amount of dollars, but the buyer has to perform certain services for the seller. So over here also, the seller can say, I don't trust the bar mitzvah to perform these particular services, and it's a pseud meicher, as long as there's a reasonable argument, and there will be no dinah de bar mitzvah.
Does it make a difference whether this person has already sold something to bar mitzvah before? You see, does have confidence in him in the previous transaction?
It would be an argument. The fact that someone had credit in the past, unfortunately, does not mean that he's trustworthy today, but. In general, the Rebbe Chaim points out that when you have these kind of issues and the owner comes up with some excuse why he doesn't want to deal with the bar mitzvah, usually he has the burden of proof. He has to explain what's going on. And just convince Besdin that there's a legitimate reason not to deal with the bar mitzvah. When it comes to extending credit, he says, you don't really have to prove anything because it's self-understood. You extend credit to people who you're comfortable with. And he doesn't necessarily have to, on paper he may have the same credit score, he may have the same credit history, but if he says, I'm just not comfortable having to go after him, then, you know, he has no manus, and he doesn't have to prove anything. Now, so if there are tanaim, the way the Nesivus learns that if there's any tanai for the benefit of the seller, that you have the same argument, the seller says that I don't trust him. And in that case, it's called Pseid de Meicher, and you will not have a din of bar mitzvah. The Nesivus learns, the Ramah that discusses this is talking about by an outside tanai. If there's a tanai that's not for the seller's benefit, it's just something has to happen before the sale goes through, there we don't deal with bar mitzvah until all the conditions are fulfilled. That's when we deal with din of bar mitzvah. Now, what happens if there are multiple neighbors? There are multiple neighbors, and they all want it. And then at some point in a, during the real estate boom, this was probably the most common din Torah. Every time a property went up for sale, at least in Lakewood, you always had three people coming to Beis Din, neighbor on each side and a neighbor behind. Everyone wanted the property. So what happens when there are multiple bar mitzvahs? So Mikra Hadin, what you do is you split the property. You split it, if they have two sides, you split it in half. If you have neighbors on four sides, it's landlocked. You just give everyone a wedge, a quarter of the field that borders on his property. Everyone has equal rights. Everyone gets an equal share in the property. What? No. So if it destroys the property, obviously there's no Yashiv HaToyev to make it useless, because once, to the extent that it's useless, then there's no Din of HaMetzer in the first place. I would imagine if it destroys it, I guess either the seller can probably choose. I don't know. Perhaps do a good. I don't know. What?
They want to put acid.
Yeah. So if it's not possible, then to divide it, there's no pshat to it. There's no Yashiv HaToyev if it's useless. So I'm not sure whether the seller would just choose, or maybe the bar mitzvahs would make some sort of good argument among themselves. I don't know. What? No, there's no halacha of the first neighbor. But claim of bar mitzvah is, the claim of bar mitzvah really comes when you sell the property, you have that right. It's not like, the pshat is not when you move into a house, you now suddenly have some sort of partnership in all the surrounding properties. What? But first of all, if you have this property, I have this property, and the one in the middle is being sold, the first person has no property on the property that's separated by the field that's now up for sale. But besides which, the din b'metzer is not when you buy it; you're now a partner in all the other properties that we can talk about kedima. It's a source that when it's sold, the existing neighbors have the right to make this claim. Now there is a machlokes. There is actually a machlokes whether the moicher has the right to say, "I want to sell a bedaska to this person," or he has to split it four way. That's a machlokes in Shulchan Aruch. But al kol parim, between the neighbors, there is no kedima. If one of the neighbors goes ahead and buys the whole thing, it's his. The other neighbors cannot wake up afterwards and say, "We're shutvim, we should get a share." But lechatchila, then if they all come together, then they split it equally, and everyone gets the chelik that is closest to them.
Can you talk about that three multiple times? Like, here you have three guys around, this guy wins out, then he got the middle property, now the guy on the other side selling something.
Sure. You keep on going, but you can take over the world.
Even though the original guy wanted to get this, I want that.
Okay, but right now it's his. Right, the point is, right now it's adjacent to him. Right now he has his benefit by buying the next field. The other person is not adjacent to this field that is now for sale, and there will not be a claim of a mitzvah.
You have three neighbors, equal neighbors. They all three have the same. So, to me, the thing they should do is you should announce to all three neighbors, "I'm putting my house up for sale. You're all equal to have a first chance. Whoever gives the highest bidder."
Correct. You're a good businessman, and he certainly has every right to do that. But that's true. But in the cases where the moicher says, "This is my price," and he's not, I don't know why he's not trying to get more out of it, but if this is his price, and the question is, who has kedima, we'll find later on. There's a whole discussion of if two people come in and nothing to do with Hilchos Bar Metzor, according to most Rishonim. What happens if you have a property for sale, and two people come? One's a neighbor, not necessarily a Bar Metzor, the other one's a stranger. Or one's a relative, the other's a stranger. There's halacha in Hilchos Kedima that you should give a relative over a stranger. We'll go through the halachas. Now, you can ask the same kasha. Why are we dealing with Hilchos Kedima? Start a bidding war. So, I guess the buyers come in, and this is what they're willing to pay. No one's willing to go up. And now it's a question of if they're both at the same price point, who do we give Kedima to? How do we deal with when we have multiple bar mitzvahs that have the same tefillah and halacha? Now, as we mentioned before, whenever the seller will have a loss, so there's no dina de bar mitzvah. Bar mitzvah is a yashar v'toyev on the neighbor. That since to the neighbor this is valuable, to an investor there's nothing special. Yashar v'toyev says, give it to the person who it's meaningful to, and don't come in on the outside and buy the property. However, we can't use yashar v'toyev to hurt another party. And if the seller will lose out, then we're going to see there are many instances where Chazal drop the claim of bar mitzvah because it would be used to hurt the seller. Now there is a bit of a shiloh what the definition of seder de moicher is. Now, as the simple case is, he'll lose out. He'll lose out dollars and cents. He'll get a lower price. He won't be able to sell it. He's losing an opportunity. What happens if there's just a bit of tircha? It's a bit harder work, but at the end of the day, the seller will end up with the sale. He'll end up with the same amount of dollars in his pocket as whether or not we apply the din of bar mitzvah. So we hear the Sma paskins and the Taz says it slightly differently, but they both paskin that tircha is not enough. We're only concerned if the seller will actually lose money. If he won't lose, it's just a little extra effort. We do not say it. The way the Taz really defines it is, if the tircha is so minimal, or is minimal enough, that a seller that's selling the property will not change the deal, or if a buyer would come in, and to close the deal would require this amount of tircha, he'd go through the deal anyway, so then this will not interfere with bar mitzvah. It's only if this is such a big deal that a seller would walk away and say, listen, if it's such a headache dealing with this guy, I'm not going to sell it at all. So then already, that's already a reason why we will take away the din of bar mitzvah. But a minimal tircha that would not interfere, the bar mitzvah will still apply. Okay. What? Okay, that's actually the last halacha in Hilchos bar mitzvah, by a sefer. We'll get there. So now let's go through some of the roadblocks and some of the halachos which make it very difficult to actually prevail on a din of bar mitzvah. The first is that as we pointed out, the bar mitzvah has to act immediately, and he has to come up with the cash. If the outside buyer closes, so the bar mitzvah's right is to come right away to Bezdin and say, "You are my shliach, so give me the property." But part of that argument is if you're my shliach, so the shliach doesn't have to finance the mishaleach's purchase. So when the bar mitzvah comes and makes his claim to Bezdin, tells the buyer, give me the property, he can only do that if he has the cash available to pay out the outside buyer immediately. If he says, I need time, I have to apply for my mortgage, and we all know what applying for a mortgage means today, there, din of bar mitzvah will not apply. So it's really only limited if you're dealing with after the fact, if the person already closed on the property. Unless you're pre-approved, you have a line of credit where you just cut out a check, or you have a very high liquid net worth where you're able to just pay in cash, you will not be able to claim bar mitzvah. Even more than that, when you come to Bezdin, if they come to Bezdin and you prevail, Bezdin will, if the bar mitzvah says, I didn't know what happened, I didn't know the purchase price, then Bezdin will basically give him enough time to go home, pick up the cash, and come back. If he asks for more time, he loses his rights. If he knew what the purchase price was beforehand, even if he tells Bezdin, listen, I just have to go home to get my checkbook, Bezdin says nothing to him. You're playing games. You knew the price. You were claiming bar mitzvah. Why didn't you bring the money with you? So it's only when he has an excuse, I didn't bring the money because I didn't know what the price was, then Ray, we give him enough time to go home. But if he knew the price, if he doesn't bring it actually to Bezdin with him when he makes the claim, you will not have dinner bar mitzvah. What? It's not a din of cash. The point is he can pay immediately. He can go to the bank. Go to your bank and withdraw the money. Doesn't be there to go. I mean, if it's a local bank, go directly to the
certified check,
or go to the buyer's bank, the bimetzer's bank, and withdraw the money. Either tircha going to the bank, so we said it. Tircha is not enough to cancel out a bimetzer. So that's tircha. That's when you sell things, there's tircha involved. That is not din of bar mitzvah. The expenses that the buyer incurred, that he will get back. First of all, like every shliach, if I send a shliach to buy something from me, and there are normal expenses involved, you have to close, you have this title, so whatever it is, so then the mishaleach has to reimburse him for those expenses. On top of that, the Pesach Shuv brings down from the Chemda Shloimoi, even he says that there's also Yashar V'Toiv. Is it Yashar V'Toiv to go over to this buyer and say, thank you very much for buying it, you are my shliach, give me the property and you eat the loss for all of your due diligence, all your inspections? Not Yashar V'Toiv. And therefore he says, for that reason alone, if you want to claim bar mitzvah, you have to reimburse him for all his expenses. Now the Pesach Shuv wants to know, why do we need this reason? You have to pay because you're a shliach. So he suggests that when you send a shliach to buy something for you, it's true the normal expenses you're responsible for. But what happens if he incurs extraordinary expenses? He overpays. Halacha is, l'skunish datich v'olavasi. I sent you as a shliach. If you're sloppy, you're responsible for any extra costs. I'm only going to pay what the normal rate is. Zok dechem de shloimoi. Over here, it's true as a shliach, he won't get reimbursed. But since it's not Yashar V'Toiv, this fellow bought the property for himself. He spent this amount of money because that's what he spent. To go ahead and say, give it to me because I'm a bar metzra. You eat the loss, he says, that's not Yashar V'Toiv, and therefore you would have to pay even if it's above the norm.
If you took that to the best and the money passed it, but reality is it takes a while for the best to process things and get. So what if the guy applies for a mortgage in between? About the time he gets the best in, If he
schleps the process, then he'll lose the dinner to my metzra. If he tries to take care of it right away, and the buyer schleps things along, then it's mistami not called a pseida. Mistami would have a claim, but the truth is I'm not sure, because maybe you can argue since at the time of the sale he didn't have the money, maybe he lost the dinner by metzra. I'm not sure. So anyway, so this is probably the biggest practical roadblock. Unless you have the cash available, you won't be able to claim bar metzor. Now another halacha is that this is the Gemara has a chiddush that what would be if you have a field of property that goes for sale. The bar metzor wants it because he has a farm and he wants to expand his farm. The lekeach wants to build a house. So dinah bar metzor would say, Let the farmer get it, and he'll expand his farm. However, the Gemara says that mishum yishuv haaretz, it's better for society to develop housing, to build houses, than it is to have bigger farms. Therefore, since there's yishuv haaretz, it doesn't mean the mitzvah of yishuv haaretz, it means the benefit to society even in chutz laretz. That's what Beis Yosef says. Since we say society is better off by building houses, that's a bigger benefit. Again, I know with the zoning issues in Muncie, some people may disagree with this. But since building houses is considered a better use of the land than expanding a farm, so here the dinah bar metzor will not apply.
Now, one person wants to build a parking house. Is that more yeshiva?
Okay, good point. I didn't see any discussion about it. I can hear the taina. So the point over here is, because this is a halacha of Yashar V'Toiv, so in Yashar V'Toiv, we have to make a shiko. We can't exercise Yashar V'Toiv for the neighbor if there's a greater good, there's Yashar V'Toiv for society, to allow the outside buyer to get it and not to have the other, and not for it to go to the bar metzor. And we actually